Good morning, everyone. I'm multitasking this morning, so I am organizing another session and trying to be present with you this morning. What I will be presenting this morning is the result of a collaboration that was initiated last year with University of Padova, the USDA ARS unit in Maricopa, Arizona, and Washington State University. And I consider that this is a preliminary approach of something that I see very promising in terms of using crop growth models as part of the tools in precision agriculture. And the title of my presentation is Coupling Crop Simulation Modeling with Crop Sensing to Improve Within Field Nitrogen Management. For some of you that are involved in the precision agriculture field, one of the challenges that we have is how to optimize or how to identify the most optimum rate to a specific location, and this rate can be seed, can be water, and can be nutrients. And this challenge is a challenge because we have to take into account time and space. So in terms of nitrogen management, there is a lot of work that has been done trying to use crop sensors or remote sensors as a tool to estimate nitrogen deficiencies or nitrogen needs to different crops within a field. There is a lot of work that has been done with the use of active sensors that measure real-time changes in leaf nitrogen content and biomass, and develop algorithms with the use of that data to predict a nitrogen rate at specific location within a field. There are still issues with that approach. Even though, you know, let's say that we can improve nitrogen use efficiency using that methodology, we are still dealing with areas where we underestimate the nitrogen rate or overestimate nitrogen rate. So the biggest question is, can we use the crop growth models to estimate in season nitrogen, to improve the estimation of nitrogen stress, combining that the power of the models with the data coming from the crop sensors. This is pretty much what we were trying to do. So what I will try to present this morning is a methodology, and I think it's the first approach of combining or merging these two approaches, using the sensors to collect data and the models to estimate within field variability of crop and stress, and improve estimation of in-season nitrogen rate. For that, we were testing the use of GeoSim. GeoSim is a tool, it's an open source tool that allows us to use crop growth models that are in DESA and optimize those crop models for a special skill. Most of us that use DESA, we use DESA for a particular location, and we calibrate the model for that particular experiment that has these unique characteristics. Well, if we are trying to look at this, if we try to implement this for precision agriculture, we have to be able to calibrate the model for, let's say, multiple conditions within a field. So that's what GeoSim allows us to do. So the data that we use for this project was not a data that was collected with the purpose of simulation modeling, and you know what I mean with that. There was a lot of data that was not collected. This is data that was collected for a precision agriculture project that was conducted in Italy in the Veneto region. And this is, let's see. Ooh, okay, the laser is not working anymore. So anyway, the red circle on the upper map represent the sort of the region where this project was conducted. This project was conducted in 2007, 2008, and 2009. There are the maps on your left correspond to maps, the fields, the fields that where this project was conducted in 2008 are the blue fields A, B, and F, and you can see that the fields in that region are completely different. I would say the shape of those fields is very different from the shape of fields we are used to here in many places in the U.S. are very, very long and narrow fields. But even though you can see on the map of your right that there was a special within field, special yield variability. So the first issue or the first challenge that we want, that we had with this project, is to be able to replicate or to simulate that within field variability using the city's maze model linked with GeoSim. So we used GeoSim that was developed by Kelly Thorpe and Kevin Bronson, and this is a paper that was published in Computers of Agriculture and Technology. And we use this because this tool allows us to manage this data to optimize the model parameters across the space, to simulate the spatial variability of crop parameters and nitrogen dynamics. So what we have, like I said, is data coming from this Precision Ag project. So we have three fields, yield data coming from three fields in 2008 and two fields in 2009. Every field, as you can see on this map, was divided into two treatments. Let's say two treatments were implemented on each one of those fields. And every treatment was replicated twice within the field. There was one treatment that was called the high-intensity treatment, and the characteristics of that treatment was conventional tillage, high nitrogen fertilization rates, and you can see the total and the type of fertilization that was used for that particular treatment, and what they call the low-input treatment, where they have minimum tillage, cover crops, and low nitrogen fertilization rates, and you will see and you will be wondering how come they call nitrogen fertilization rates when they apply 240 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. But anyway, that's what the experiment was designed for. The data that was collected they collected a lot of soil samples. They also ran a soil electrical conductivity instrument, the EM38, to collect soil electrical conductivity at two different depths. And what you see on these maps, the blue dots on those on the maps represent locations where soil samples were collected at a depth of 30 centimeters for soil texture determination. There were between 32 and 36 locations per field. And the, what we call red pins were samples that were collected from each field, four locations per field, and they collected four samples per location at the intervals of 20 centimeters depth. So those samples were collected for soil texture determination and other soil properties. So remember, if we want to run the models, one of the basic information we need to have is soil, and soil at different depths. So right now we have locations where we have data at 30 centimeters depth, and we have a lot of points, 30 to 36 points per location, per field, and then we have other points that there was a better characterization of the soil profile. So how we deal with these things? So what we did was we ran a spatial regression using kriging to interpolate This was a 3D spatial interpolation. So we wanted to assess soil texture values at those 32 locations based on the data coming from those red pins. It was a combination of the red pins data and the blue points data. So we have soil textured values at each one for different soil depths at each one of the blue points. So that was a challenge, but we were able to do it. Pierre Gouverts was instrumental on this work. Then the field NDVI data was collected at each one of those fields at different times during the growing season, 65 days after planting in field A, 73 days after planting field B, and 63 days after planting field C and E. And like you see on this bottom map, we have also yield data. So this is kind of the flow process of the activities and tasks that we ran in order to accomplish this project. So the first thing that we did was, okay, the soil data was a limiting factor in terms of the area, the spatial area that we use for running the models. So if we go back to this map, so what we did was we divided this, every one of those points was used to delineate polygons. So let's say that we have, let me go forward, and this is pretty much the areas that we delineated. So there is the centroid, the sample, the centroid of each one of those polygons corresponds to the location where we have soil data. So if we go back to this map, so this is pretty much what we did. So this is what we have. The polygons or the minimum unit for simulation corresponded to 0.03 hectares. So we have the same cultivar over those three seasons. So we use the yield map, the yield data coming from the yield monitors. We average the yield data per polygon, and that data over three seasons was the one that we used to calibrate the model for yield. So then, I will explain later what model parameters we use for the calibration of yield data. When we were able to achieve good calibration for yield, but we saw that the model was still having issues with simulating leaf biomass. So we ran a second calibration to adjust for leaf biomass. If we want to use the model to predict nitrogen stress within season, we have to have a good calibration of leaf biomass. So that was what we did. In order to calibrate the model for leaf biomass, we used the NDVI data for that. And so we ran the second calibration, and then after that we were able to simulate nitrogen stress. Okay. So these are the results of the model calibration. So we calibrated the model, we optimized the model for DUL, and this is the ranges of the values that the final values that we found. We calibrated for lower limit and for initial water content, and we ran the model. We ran this optimization for all these three parameters at the same time for every and simultaneously for all those polygons that you see on that map. So the figures on the graphs on the left represent the yield simulated and observed yield data before calibration and after calibration. I don't have a lot of time. Unfortunately, we use the modifier Bird law to be able to estimate leaf area index data out of the NDVI data. So what I see, what I'm showing on that graph is that some people have done it, have done this before. So we just use the same method to estimate leaf area index because the leaf area index was not measured in this project. So if we want to optimize the model for leaf area index in order to improve the simulation of leaf biomass, we need to have leaf area index data. So that's what we did. And these are some of the results. I don't have a lot of time. This is the results of the field that we use for model evaluation of the simulated and observed leaf area index. What we found is after incorporating that and running the second optimization, we were able to improve the spatial variability of leaf area index without impacting the yield calibration that we already had. And this is after those processes, we were able to estimate nitrogen stress. You can see the map on your left. This is the nitrogen stress without that second calibration or before the incorporation of the leaf area index. The map on this map on your right is after the model calibration for leaf area index. And with that, we were able to estimate the optimal nitrogen rate to reduce the stress that was observed here. And then this is the simulated final yield for that particular field. With that, these are my conclusions. So we were able to identify a tool that is going to allow us to run spatial simulations in space and time. I think that GeoSim can be a powerful tool that we can use in precision agriculture to support other type of technologies that we have right now in the market to do in-season management.
Thank you very much.